Thy neck is as a tower of ivory. Thine eyes are like the fish pools in Heshbon, by the gate of Bathrabim. Thy nose is as the tower of Lebanon, which looketh toward Damascus. Song of Solomon 7, verse 4. Ivory is a hard, white, bone-like substance. Hence, it suggests purity, beauty, and strength. A neck like a tower of ivory figures majestic beauty and womanly purity with refined and polished strength. The neck is also an important support. It holds up the head, which is likened to Carmel in the next verse. It also connects the head with the body. See the notes on Song of Solomon 4, verse 4. We are still studying about that wonderful company of people called the Bride of Christ. The neck speaks of that principle in overcomers, which directly connects those who possess the necessary senses of usefulness with the body. Some saints especially exemplify firmness with beauty of character and strength, with refinement and purity. They may be quiet, for the neck does not speak. It has no mouth. These saints stand by immovably and hold up Christ as head of the body. Indeed, they are as a tower of ivory, hard against evil, firm for the truth, shining with glory. They seldom miss a meeting. They do not gossip nor criticize. They pray and pay. They prove to be a vital connection between the head and the body, the church, and acknowledge Christ as head over all things in behalf of the church. Ephesians 1:22. Thine eyes are like the fish pools in Heshbon by the gate of Bathrabim. Heshbon, meaning reason or stronghold, was a town in Moab east of the Jordan and was captured from the Amorites by Reuben and Gad. In Heshbon's wall was a gate named Bathrabim, meaning daughter of many. Near that gate were two renowned fish pools whose clear water sparkled perpetually. The eyes of the Shulamite were evidently big and bright, sparkling and clear, especially when gazing upon her beloved. At least so they were to him. Twice before he said to her, "Thou hast dove's eyes." Again we marvel at God's word. We saw previously that dove's eyes figure enlightenment by the Holy Spirit. Now eyes like the Bathrabim fish pools indicate the vast usefulness of dove's eyes. The vision of bridal saints is not only to be admired as being clear and wonderful, but it is to be prized for enabling others also to see. Fish pools abound in fish, figuring life and fruitage. As the two fish pools were at the entrance into Heshbon, so the eyes are to the head and the seat of reason and the stronghold of the old creation. Fish pool-like eyes suggesting a spiritual grasp of divine things make even Heshbon's reason productive. They cast down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God and bring into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. 2 Corinthians 10 verse 5. That makes such believers bridal saints. Thy nose is as the tower of Lebanon, which looketh toward Damascus. Lebanon is the snowy white mountain range lying west of Damascus. The tower was on the sunny side of the mountain. It was a military tower, whence a watchman sighted danger or an enemy coming and gave warning. Thus, the watchman was in some sense also a guide. Did Solomon admire a large nose? A typical cook has an acute smeller, never mind about the dimensions. Rather, his bride's nose was prophetic of a future function which she would fill. She would differentiate and separate the precious from the vile. Many a modest wife has saved her husband from numbers of troubles by sensing the future and giving him caution. The Tower of Lebanon faced Damascus, which means silent is the sackcloth weaver. It is said that Uz, Shem's grandson, founded Damascus. The new world, which emerged from the flood, may have been so green and growing, and life so redolent and prolonged, that Uz may have supposed that there would not be any more deaths, or not many at least. Hence, the sackcloth weaver went out of business. At least the Shulamite's nose did not forebode gloom and death. It betokened perpetual life, of which Damascus is a figure, being the oldest city in the world and still in existence. Spiritually, the nose speaks of discernment and of inquiry. Discernment of spirits is the seventh of the nine spiritual gifts named in 1 Corinthians 12. It is profitable to have the nose in the Bible frequently, though some people say it is not necessary. He that is spiritual judgeth, or discerneth, all things, yet he himself is judged, discerned, of no man. 1 Corinthians 2:15. He knows his rank. He knows God's will as far as he needs to know, and he understands those who do not understand him, but misjudge him. The spiritual man pries into the secrets of the Lord by searching the Scriptures in dependence upon the Holy Spirit. The name of the Lord is his strong tower. He runs into it and is safe. Proverbs 18:10. The scent of bridal saints is from the viewpoint of heavenly whiteness and purity. They are looking down from their magnificent tower. They are in Christ and through the Spirit discern approaching dangers. They smell the footsteps of the foe afar off. Their cautions and warnings may not be heeded now, but after the resurrection of Paul's Smyrna cohort and the translation of their Philadelphia associates in the faith, the opposing function of their spiritual nostrils will be manifest. Study the career of the four living ones and the 24 elders in the book of Revelation. For nearly 7 years before the wedding in the air, they will be there. They will discern the throne and him that sits on it. They will discern their place there and take it. They will discern the voice of the great sublime stage manager as he shall call forth the holy actors to their various performances. First, they will engage in unspeakable adoration of Christ on the throne. Then they will lead the redeemed in song and praise. Again, they will call the four international horses of the 7 years of trial onto the stage. Revelation 6. Throughout those troublous times, they will show themselves worthy to be the wife of the Lamb. Thine head upon thee is like Carmel, and the hair of thine head like purple. The king is held in the galleries. Song of Solomon 7, verse 5. Thine head upon thee is like Carmel. Carmel, meaning a park, a place of order and beauty, a fruitful field, is an elevated tableland by the sea. Every scripture citation of it indicates its fruitfulness and excellence. Isaiah 35:2 emphasizes the excellency of Carmel. The Shulamite possessed a prolific mind. Hers was not an empty think box. She was quick to perceive and understand. She saw things in their right relations. Order and symmetry enabled her to have a rich store of thoughts and facts, beautifully arranged. Her head was indeed an intellectual park. Bridal saints in particular have the mind of Christ, 1 Corinthians 2:16. They refuse the reasoning of the natural man. They accept God's reasoning, Isaiah 1, verse 18. They think divine thoughts because their minds have stored up his precious word. They hold a straight course in the truth, 2 Timothy 2:15. The mind of one really spiritual is truly an intellectual garden of divine symmetry and beauty. It is prolific with the profoundest thoughts about Christ and his salvation. They stagger and silence the wisdom of men. Only the mind of spiritual believers can grasp the deep and rich and beautiful truths outlined in the Song of Songs. And the hair of thine head like purple. What is more charming than a wealth of flowing hair on a woman's head? It is her beauty, her glory. The purple color suggests her queenly fitness to be Solomon's bride. The king is held in the galleries, or tresses, revised version thereof, indicates how fascinating they were to him. He was caught and entangled in the charming ringlets or curls. We have the spiritual application of the hair in 1 Corinthians 11. The church is subject to Christ as her head. Women praying or prophesying with their heads covered show the dependence of the church upon Christ. He is the glory of the church because he is her head. Some saints take the place of absolute weakness and glory in it. They are wholly and continually dependent upon Jesus for everything. They refuse to trust themselves or any other arm. To trust Christ is their glory, their charm, their purple hair. This is the chief qualification for the bridehood, and this simple, confident attitude of saints toward Christ charms him, captures his heart. He allows himself to become caught and entangled in the flowing tresses of our weakness. We hang on his strength, and he hangs in our confidence. Glorious union indeed. How fair and how pleasant art thou, O love, for delights. Song of Solomon 7, verse 6. Here the king sums up all the sweet titles in one, O love. He does not even say, my love, as formerly. He is overwhelmed with her beauty and perfection. He has found in her what he longed for. Now she is far more to him than a lady friend, Hebrew royah. She is a charming stature of love, Hebrew ahaba. Solomon gazed upon his spouse, beholding the 10 entrancing features here described, beginning with the feet and climaxing with her royal hair, and he was moved to exclaim aloud, O love, how fair and how pleasant art thou for delights or delicacies. He is carried away with the object of his affection, seeing her in her entirety. Every member and function of her body is perfect. He sees no blemish, no lack in any of them. As a culminating tribute or praise, he shouts, This thy stature is like to a palm tree, and thy breasts to its clusters. Song of Solomon 6, verse 7. The palm tree is here meant the date palm, as suggested by the clusters. Because of its leaves, bark, juice, and fruit, it has always been a very useful palm in Arabia, Syria, and adjoining lands. It grows under adverse conditions. Hence we read that the righteous shall flourish like the palm tree. Psalm 92:12. It is erect and stately. In spite of trials, Solomon saw in the Shulamite beautiful stateliness, life, and vigor, and he saw the promise of fruition. Their union was to be a waving triumph over his foes and a typically productive home. She satisfied him to the uttermost. He was ready to be joined to her in holy wedlock. Will our heavenly Solomon find such a company of saints? After scrutinizing his own within and without, through and through, will he be perfectly satisfied with any of them? For he walketh in the midst of the 7 golden candlesticks. Revelation 5:1. He is weighing the people in the scales of divine truth. He is searching and separating his own into different grades, as the 7 letters to the 7 churches of Revelation 2 and 3 indicate. Some saints are overcoming some things, like those of Pergamos and Thyatira. Others are overcoming all things, like those of Smyrna and Philadelphia. Yes, Christ will have a band of believers who will be as perfect and beautiful in his eyes as was the Shulamite before Solomon. Otherwise, the chief purpose of redemption would not be reached. Study Paul's commendatory words to the Philippians. He enjoyed their fellowship. They were partaking of grace with him. They always obeyed his instruction in his absence as well as in his presence, a rare trait. Hence he called them his joy and crown, Philippians 4:1. Paul records no complaint against that assembly, even as John records no fault in the Smyrna and Philadelphia saints. He espoused the whole church to Christ, 2 Corinthians 11:2, and sought by his teaching and prayers to present every man perfect in Christ, Colossians 1:28 and 29. Some saints have accepted their espousal and are yielding to the correction and instruction, the sifting and cutting, the polishing and refining, which make for perfection and prepare for the bridehood of Christ. Solomon could not prepare his bride. That was left for her to do. But our Solomon prepares his bride for himself by working in her all his holy and sweet will through the rugged and delicate workings of the Holy Spirit and the Word. The Apostle Paul said, and still says, the word of God effectually worketh also in you that believe. 1 Thessalonians 2:13. What can be more comforting than that? Only believe what is written. God does the rest. Hallelujah. Jesus Christ will have a people that unspeakably please him and perfectly satisfy him. They are flourishing now like the palm tree. Behold their waving branches of triumph. See the clusters of fruition. Who bears the fruit of the Spirit and is useful perpetually like the bridal saints? Surely it will not be long until the heavenly bridegroom summons his fully prepared ones to glory. And more, after this overcoming company will have been in glory less than 6 years, the time will come that both they and Christ will be fully ready for the nuptials. He will be filled with deep admiration and overmastering love for his bride, for she will stand before him full grown, full orbed, fully mature in her faith toward God and in her love for Jesus. She too will be absolutely satisfied with Christ alone, not simply as her Savior, nor as the Lord of battles, nor even as the King of kings, but she will love and adore him as indeed her bridegroom. Wondrous prospect his, wondrous hope ours, wondrous the mutual union. O Jesus, haste the day.